Blog Talk Radio.
Right at the outset, I wanted to just let you know about an upcoming event this weekend. I will be speaking at the Oregon Convention Center this weekend, which is March 21st and 22nd. I will be at the Portland Body, Mind, Spirit Expo, and I am speaking Saturday at 10 a.m. on the topic Listen to Love, which is all about following your heart and your life and your work and everything that you do, and also how we can follow synchronicities and really use our intuition in life. So I welcome you out to the expo. I will also be coaching at booth number 19, and I really look forward to talking with you out there at the Oregon Convention Center this weekend if you're listening to this show live. I know many of you listen in the future, and I welcome those of you who are listening to the podcast as well. Tonight, I have a very special guest that I've been looking forward to talking with. I actually, this is very synchronistic in a way, first encountered this guest on social media I'm not sure how many years ago, but when I became active on Twitter, and I tended to put out a lot of information on Twitter, I pretty quickly came across someone named Nadeem Damani. And Nadeem, whose Twitter handle, since we'll be talking about social media tonight, is Nadeem D, and it's on the show page, and I invite you to interact with us if you'd like. I'll kind of keep an eye on Twitter tonight. My handle there is Bridge Builder, or just search for Susan Laris and Dan's, and it's also accessible via the show page. He is an expert. He has become an expert in social media because many years ago, Nadeem and I used to chat about writing a book. I did not manage to write a book just yet, but Nadeem did, and he's going to talk about that process because he co-authored a book called Going Tradigital, and he co-authored this with Angelo Johnson, and he is an insurance agent, a successful insurance agency owner, the Damani Insurance Agency, and he has become the managing partner at Social Heroes as well. And he was also featured in the book Change Agents, which talks about different ways of working inspirationally in the world. Many successful business owners and people in walks of life that have been a real example to all of us. Tonight, what Nadeem has to share will be applicable. If you're an insurance agent, you've really hit the jackpot here because he's very specifically provided some tools for you. If you are just a business owner, anyone who wants to get the word out on Twitter about anything, or Facebook, or Pinterest, or many other tools, I'm really curious to talk about Google+, because that's one I haven't used much, this show is for you. Nadim, when I first met him, we tended to have about the same number of followers back then, maybe, on Twitter. I don't know. Maybe he always had a little more. But now he's grown to 45,000, or very high on Twitter. It's in the 40,000s. And I'm still kind of in the 6,000s because I haven't been quite as active as Nadim in recent years. So I know we're going to enjoy talking. And if you have a question tonight, the call-in number is 310-807-5104. And if any of Nadim's colleagues or social heroes friends are listening and would like to interject a comment about social media, please feel free to call in tonight, 310-807-5104. And now, without any more delay, I am really very delighted to bring Nadim Damani on the air. Welcome, Nadim. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks, Susan. Thanks for having me. And I'm so happy to be here. And I'm so happy to listen, to hear your voice for the first time.
Yes.
After all these years.
Isn't that
amazing?
We could start there. I mean, that's the interesting thing about social media, isn't it? How we interact. I've interacted to some degree, not a lot, but a little bit, even with Angela Johnson, your co-author. Usually when you at times have put out these wonderful affirmations, I mean, there's a positive, inspirational thing to do where you talk about the people who are inspiring you on Twitter. And you started doing this a really long time ago. And so maybe we can start right there with how, you know, what role social media plays in our lives today, whether, you know, as just people and also as business owners and people, you know, we're all doing various kinds of work.
Right. Basically, you know, like you said, you know, I start following you, I don't know, almost 6-7 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
7-8 years ago, something like that. And it social media has become such a great medium to connect people. It's just mind-boggling how you're in Portland and, you know, I'm in Houston. And we got connected somehow and we stayed connected all these years. And I think it's an amazing place to meet like-minded people. Who, you know, you can resonate with, and then, you know,
yeah.
Somehow it has this ability to keep people connected. You know, like when they talk about the first generation web and then second generation web, where the connectivity came into the web, World Wide Web, and how for initially the first generation web was just a technical thing where people could go in, get work done or exchange emails, but then the next generation webs is more like connecting people, and that's what we are witnessing, you know, which came in our lifetime, and, you know, it has taken over pretty much how people connect, and it's just unbelievable, and, you know, and then, of course, people share whatever they're passionate about, and as a lot of our friends know that you and I both are passionate about inspirational and, you know, posts about spirituality and inspiration. And we both have our common friend, you know, Maulana Rumi. We both love Rumi and how we share about Rumi's poetry.
Oh, yes.
I think one of the Rumi quotes, and I don't know what you posted, but, you know, I somehow started following you. And and that's how I guess we became friends. And it's and then so many of my Twitter followers started connecting with me because of that, and then some of them, you know, like you and I, became great friends, which is just amazing.
Yes, and that's what's really cool, is that you really can become friends. How can you become friends, you think, you know, with 140 characters, and yet you really can over time, because you connect with people. And I feel like, you know, I can think of connections to people across the world, just, you know, amazing connections that have occurred. And I think that we're really fortunate to live in this world right now. And, you know, I guess I would ask you, too, given that we both do have a spiritual outlook on life and a very positive outlook, before we get into your book, which we will, is how, as a business owner, because you have a successful business, That outlook in life has helped you, even with your work. How has that helped you, and how did it help you write the book as well?
So I think, you know, like as social media is growing and, you know, as more and more people are on social media, it helps tremendously to connect with like-minded people. And definitely when people see, you know, like what you stand for or what your outlook is on life in general and, you know, what your opinions are, when you resonate with them, they really do want to do business with you. And, you know, you, it's amazing, you know, like how much of my business comes from Facebook now, which initially, you know, people, when we first started doing, Angela and I got together and we started writing this book, a lot of people used to almost like laugh at us and say, hey, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, right, whatever, you know, and social media. My daughter does my social media. Like, you know, I don't do all that stuff. But now, I mean, at any given year, if I would do like $20 or $30 million worth of face amount of life insurance, out of that, maybe one third of that actually comes from directly from Facebook, you know, where people would approach me and say, hey, you know, I saw your thing, I saw your post, I saw something, you said something about life insurance. I don't even know what you said, but I know that you do it, and I want to do business with you. And I'm like, why? You know, what made you choose me? And they're like, because I follow you, and I know what, you know, what you stand for and how, what you post about, and I just want, just somehow they feel, you know, there is this affinity that you build, you know, and then there is subliminal way of marketing where you're not constantly asking for business, but people somehow feel like they want to do business with you. And that's how lot of my, almost 30 to 40% of my business, new business, comes directly through social media, which is mind-boggling.
That's significant.
And I was talking about this with our CEO, you know, Farmers Insurance. He was one time, he was in news, and he said, you know, well, you have almost 30, at that time I had 30,000 followers on Twitter. And he's like, you know, we have 16,000 agents in America, and I would like a lot of my agents to become like you, you know, where they can reach out to clients. And if, imagine if we have 16,000 agents and everybody has like 15,000 followers, the amount of reach would be amazing. So it was like, well, I would like for you to put together some ideas for our marketing department, and that way I can share it with my marketing people, and our agency force can become, you know, more, they can get more into social media. So I'm like, sure, you know, I can do that. And so after he left, I was talking to Angela, and I was like, you know, instead of sending him an email, maybe we can sit down and figure out how we can help other agents to do the same. So next year when he visited Houston, I'm like, hey, Jeff, remember you asked me to write an email to you? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, Angela and I wrote a book about it. So here's the book.
I'm sure that amazed.
So he was like, oh, that's great, because I forgot my laptop on the plane. And when I go back to L.A., I'm going to read your book from Houston to L.A. I'm like, okay, fine. You know, he probably said that. I don't know if he's going to read it or not. But, you know, anyways, we gave him our first copy of the book. Sure enough, you know, after a week or so, he calls us and he goes like, you know what, I read your book and it's just amazing. So he finally, he read the book and he's like, I want to write an endorsement on it. And, you know, I would like for all our agents to read it. So that's how, you know, the book came about. And it took us a year to write it, but it was a great exercise and learned a lot. And, you know, and then it took us to different places. For example, actually, last year, somebody in Turkey read our book, and I got an inbox from on my LinkedIn account, and they said, hey, we would like for you to come to Turkey and speak about your book. And
amazing.
I was like, huh, that's interesting that all the way across the world somebody found our book, and they're inviting us to come and speak. And I'm like, I asked Angela, I'm like, is this some kind of spam, or do you think we should even consider it? And she's like, no, maybe they are serious. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
So we did the research, and we ended up going to Turkey and speaking about it. And then, you know, same company wants us to go to Rome and then all these other countries. And it's just all these opportunities are coming about, you know. And here I am on your show talking about it. So never know.
You know, I know you believe in, you know, how how thinking positively about life can lead to really good things. And that certainly seems to have worked for you, especially, I mean, to be able to go to all those wonderful places, how the doors have opened. That's really cool. Now, I have a question for you just at the outset. When you talk about how social media has helped you find clients, you know, it seems, Nadeem, maybe gone are the days where I remember when my father, you know, was when I was very young and I first started to learn about this whole idea of insurance, is that, you know, the insurance agent had to be like right in your neighborhood, right down the street. And, you know, that's the way our agent was. And I swear, you know, my mother probably still, although she's moved from that neighborhood, I wouldn't be at all surprised if she's with the same agent. And I wonder now if that whole industry, like many industries, has expanded in the way that, you know, people don't have to be right, you know, right in your neighborhood to have you do something for them. Is that true? How does the insurance agency work, or the insurance industry work these days in that way? I'm just curious.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's still, you know, having somebody in your neighborhood, of course, you know, it helps, but, you know, the buying patterns have changed, not only insurance business, but overall in any business, you know, which used to be retail-based. Now it's, of course, more and more online, and people, you know, a lot of people don't want to necessarily want to see or talk to human beings, other human beings, and they would rather do their business without touching anything, any human being, like, you know, talking to a human being. Like, even for myself, you know, I do a lot of my shopping online. I go to Amazon and buy stuff. And insurance business has somewhat become, you know, that way where people like to go online and do things. 90%, almost 80-90% of people start shopping online. But then eventually they like to sit down with an insurance agent and do business, you know, that way.
There's so it's good to be.
Yeah, like,
so
you know,
it's good to be near.
Yeah, 60 to 70% of consumers still prefer to have access to, you know, a human being if they need to talk about insurance needs, you know, even though they may want to start their shopping online, but they want to have somebody to talk to because, you know, it's still a complex product, especially when it comes to life insurance or permanent life policies, or, you know, if somebody has a, you know, bunch of cars, home, umbrella policy, and if there are a lot of insurance needs, they still prefer to have a life person who can advise them on an ongoing basis. So even though they start business in online way, but they still prefer to have somebody help them. So it's and that's what I guess social media is helping agents. What, you know, do is to build a ongoing relationship with clients. You know, our industry is kind of segmented where some people prefer to go totally online, and that's where the Geicos and Progressives of the world are taking away some segment of the business. But then certain segment is still agency-based where agent is there to help you guide on an ongoing basis. So, and that's where actually social media is helping agents turn tables on the direct writers, what we call a direct writer, which is Progressive and Geico, where there are really no agents, but, you know, consumer just goes out and does a business with a company. So they can do a business with Flo or Lizard, but really there is no agent. But in social media, what helps agents do is build a relationship with our clients. So when our client calls in and, you know, wants to talk about their rates or their coverages, we not only we can talk about that, but we can also connect to them on a human basis where we can say, hey, you know, how was your vacation? I saw your pictures from Alaska. You know, how was it? And that kind of adds a totally different component, you know, where humanizing your brand, where we are connecting them at their level, where we are talking to them about what they did, and then, you know, it gives a totally different experience versus, you know, calling somebody and giving them your social security number and just making a totally transactional relationship versus a rich relationship where we know their needs and we can give them right guidance. So it makes a huge difference from that point of view, you know.
You know, something you said earlier where people are finding you and they feel that you resonate, and this can go with many other sorts of businesses, is just how social media really does tend to humanize us. And, you know, as an insurance agent, that's really important, I think, that people look for someone who is compassionate and will listen. And, you know, they that would be important. And I could see how really showing your human side, you know, who you really are, mm-hmm. on social media and your core beliefs, you know, which are very inspiring, would make people feel that if they were in a difficult situation, you know, often insurance can be really a challenging area, you know, where you talk to your insurance agent usually when something, you know, mm-hmm. not always, but when something has gone wrong, and especially if someone's in some kind of, you know, natural disaster or car accident, whatever. I mean, I think that knowing that an agent has compassion, and I want to generalize this even outside of insurance, just in general, you know, as a whatever customer service or whatever you're doing, revealing your own compassion is really important.
Absolutely. It kind of gives the company so many tools to connect with their client at so many different levels versus just, you know, and you're talking about customer service. That's like, that's, uh-huh. Social media has been a game changer in customer service, and a lot of big companies actually are getting big, you know, companies that are customer-centered, customer service-centered companies, they are using social media as a tool to listen to their clients and then solving problems for them, you know. And we talk about this in our book, where one time my son is a big, you know, Xbox, you know, fan, and he plays a lot of video games, a lot of, you know how teenagers are, they are into
video
games.
Oh, yeah, I have a teenager, too.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes,
so,
do.
So their life revolves around video games. And, well, of course, when I was young, I was into it, too. But, you know, like in today's world, video game is huge. And then I think this was a couple of years ago. It was in the middle of summer vacation, and, you know, his Xbox just died on him, you know, gave him a red ring of death, which... After, you know, once that happens, that Xbox unit, you know, it's pretty hard to fix. So he's like, Dad, you know, this is a major emergency. I need my Xbox fixed right away. And so I tried to fix it in my limited technical, you know, ability. And of course, I couldn't fix it. And so I was in sheer frustration. I just tweeted about it. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm so frustrated. My son's Xbox died and I don't know how to fix it. And in a few minutes, I got a tweet back from Microsoft, you know, from their Xbox
division.
And
that's
they're like,
awesome.
Hey, yeah, they're like, Mr. Damani, we'll help you fix it and do this. And they gave me all these instructions over, you know, on Twitter. We're going back and forth. And I'm like, no, I can't fix it. And finally, he sends me a link. He's like, click on this link. And so I clicked on it, and a FedEx label printed out, and the FedEx guy came, picked it up same day, and the next day we had like a brand new unit. And, you know, I've been to so many different seminars and speaking mm-hmm. engagements, and I always talk about this, how you know, brilliant that is to, you know, listening to your clients, using social media and solving their problems. And it was just amazing. The customer service experience was just like outstanding. And
yes,
companies
yes.
are doing that, you know, and just changing the game. You know, like how in the 80s when Pizza Hut came up with that caller ID and said, you know, when you used to call for pizza, they would, you know, they will know exactly
who's calling.
Yeah,
they knew what you were ordering. Yes.
Like, yes, Susan, you want the same thing as last time?
Mm-hmm.
And how is your son doing? And he wants the same topping on his pizza. And they know all about you. And they changed the game. They changed the game by a simple tool called caller ID, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing is happening now. Because of social media, the game is being changed. So if you are an insurance agent, or if you are whatever business are you in, and you have these clients who are paying you $500, $600, $5,000 a month, and when they have needs and you cannot solve that, and where Pizza Hut can solve it for $10 pizza, you know, or Microsoft can solve the thing for $200 unit, but they are paying you $500, $600, $700 a month. So you need to follow and, you know, stay ahead of the game, or at least stay at, you know, same level where the game is being changed on customer service. That's where the customer expectations are going. And,
yeah,
you know, if we don't do that, then we'll be left behind. And
yeah,
social media is just becoming a critical tool of delivering that service.
Yes, yes. Now, Nadine, when people occasionally, and I don't know that this happens that often, but I know sometimes, actually I've encountered this fact, I might as well say, you know, part of my role, I work in social media too. I should probably say that because, you know, part of what I do, I tend to, right now I tend to help nonprofits, although not exclusively. Like I help with a giant nonprofit organization that's an expo, which, you know, has a lot of very well-known spiritual speakers. And occasionally we'll get, you know, a more difficult question on Facebook or something. Somebody's unhappy about something, you know, usually it has to do with maybe accessing a live stream. You know, we encountered that a little bit. And, you know, then you can help problem solve. But one of the questions I've had as I'm working with this, and I feel organizations need advice on, is when, you know, somebody has a complaint or, you know, phrases something in a more difficult way, or sometimes you'll even get, maybe this is unique to an event like that, something that's really a kind of an abusive post. Well, those are pretty easy to deal with. I mean, you don't have to keep those. But if it's a really serious, you know, question, somebody's having a technical problem or and they're upset, or, you know, and this could happen in the insurance agent industry too, how do you advise people address that on social media if someone is upset about something?
Right. I mean, you know, I think that ignoring is definitely not a solution. You know,
right,
sometimes people complain and you want to address that. You want to address it quickly and as efficiently as possible. And if possible, you know, sometimes there are opportunities, you know, like in those challenges, you know. Of course,
mm-hmm,
each challenge has an opportunity in it. So, you know, sometimes that can be turn that into a good customer experience, or maybe turn
right
it into a wow service. You know, like sometimes that's, of course, you know, somebody's taking their time to type and bring it up to your attention. There's definitely some pain point. Like, for example, one time, one of my client, you know, I posted something on my Facebook page and I said, my landlord, you know, I renewed my lease or something, or, oh, actually it was a holiday and my landlord sent me this nice gift basket and I posted that on my Facebook page and I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, and I was just kind of happy and I posted that, and then one of my client said, he replied to that and made a comment on that and said, well, I've been your client for 10 years and I never got a gift basket from you. So I was like, okay, does have a point. And then so I didn't reply right away, but what I did was I sent her a gift basket by FedEx and she got it the next day. So and then she posted another comment with that picture of that gift basket and saying, hey, thank you, Mr. Damani, for sending me this. And so actually I turned that into more like a positive experience, you know. And, of course, companies can do the same thing. A couple of things you probably don't want to do is, we've seen examples in insurance industry where somebody has a problem about claims or something, anything that's negative. Some companies have an automatic post go out to reply to that, and that's a huge no-no because that's customer find, you know, most people find that
mm-hmm
insulting and they're having this horrible time, and then you send them an automatic reply. That's
a bad
practice. And so, you know, I would suggest to get, you know, on top of it and immediately fix the problem and do it as quickly, as efficiently, and as publicly as possible. And there was, I was reading some blog where there was this client who complained about Domino's, or was it, I'm not sure if it was Domino's or Pizza Hut, and they had this, they delivered this pizza late,
mm-hmm,
and they immediately, the franchise owner of that particular location made a YouTube clip apologizing publicly, saying that, hey, we are sorry, and you know, we understand that you had inconvenience, and we apologize. And the person, the manager, and the person who made the pizza, and the person who delivered the pizza, they were all on that clip, and they actually posted on Twitter. And then that clip got like 20,000-30,000 hit, because so it
wow.
turned into a negative experience into a positive
yeah.
way of saying that, okay, fine, we understand you have a problem. And customers, most of the time, clients don't want something for free or something,
mm-hmm.
some kind of compensation. All they want is to felt heard. They want to make sure that you hear their complaint and
yeah.
recognize that. And by doing that, I think that's a huge way of, that's a positive way of, like, you know, saying, okay, I understand. We messed up. We are sorry. And, you know. And just
yeah.
like, you know.
Yeah, sometimes they want that acknowledgement. I mean, that, and you know, businesses aren't perfect, and sometimes things do need to be resolved,
uh-huh.
and it can lead to real improvement. Now, I have a question just about your book. I have to tell you, multiple times I was misspelling traditional. I kept thinking, was it, you know, there was a trans, no, it's tra, like traditional. And so I wonder if you could talk about the title of the book. Did you have that title at the beginning? How did that all come about?
Yeah, actually we came up with the title right, I think we were in the middle of writing the book, and we were thinking about the title, and of course title is one of the most important parts, and we had a huge discussion about that, and we're like, what is our book all about? And we said, it's insurance agents are very traditional in
mm-hmm.
in the way they market their products. They are, you know, it's very hard to change us, because we are set in our ways, and a lot of times some things work for us, and we continue doing that, like direct mail or cold calling or magnets on the fridge or the calendars, and we are like stuck in that era of old school marketing. So we are very traditional in our industry is very traditional,
yeah.
and a lot of other industries are too. You know, we just stuck in. You still receive cold call nowadays, and you're like, what? You're still making cold calls, really? The world has moved on. So, and then, you know, of course, social media marketing and digital marketing, you know, it's all digital. So we're like, so how can we combine the two? And actually, Angela is the one who came up with this word.
Mm-hmm.
One day she called me and said, like, I got the word. And she said, it's traditional and digital combined, tradigital. So that's how we came up with the name, and it fit perfectly, because that's the message of our book, is like,
uh-huh.
don't stop doing what's working, but combine it with digital, and that way you have a higher synergy. So, for example, if you are giving somebody a business card or a brochure, or if you're doing a mail out, that's fine. Continue doing that, but add, you know, your Facebook web address on it, add your Twitter on it. So when somebody gets your brochure or business card, maybe when they'll go to their office or their home, they're going to look you up on Facebook. And so you can multiply your impact by combining the traditional traditional marketing with digital marketing. So that was the concept behind the title. And I think it has worked out great. And I don't even know what it sounds in Turkish, but our book was, translated in Turkish, so I don't know
That's
exactly
amazing.
What said about that.
You know, many people wait a long time for their books to go to, you know, other countries, and I mean, even, and to be able to expand in such a way, that's incredible. Why don't we talk a little bit about the different forms of social media and different ways of using it, because I have a feeling you have, just based on seeing what the social heroes are talking about. In fact, we can talk about them too. In fact, let's start with that actually real quick. Who are the social heroes? How did that all come about? Because I know you have a blog out there that has some interesting information.
Right. Social heroes group came together. We are six insurance agents all over U.S., and we got together and formed like a mastermind group called Social Heroes. And our website, you know, the website is vrsocialheroes.com. And so we, and then we came up with this online academy that we built for social, for insurance agents called DAMM.com. That's like Digital Academy of Marketing Mastery. And so that's, that group is like our mastermind group. We go across, you know, U.S. To talk about social media and how insurance agents can use that. So that that's a group. Angela and I, we both belong to that group, and we speak in different conferences for insurance agents, insurance companies. So that that group has been very beneficial for us, and it, it, we have learned so much from each other over the years, and we kind of inspire each other. And and even though we are in different, you know, different areas of the, you know, of U.S., you know, we have people in Seattle. We have, you know, we have people. We have, two of us are in Texas, and then we have Tennessee, Colorado. So all these different people, we are spread around. So we learn from each other, and then we are hired by different companies to go and speak at their conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So that that has been a great group and a good learning experience for us.
Now, it looks like you have webinars that are offered to people, mostly agents, it looks like, from what I can see. It seems like, in fact, here's a more general question, although it's sort of an extension of social media. It's part of the resources that we have available to us. But I see more and more people and even clients of mine wanting to utilize webinars. That's coming up more and more, and it's kind of an extension. I don't know if I'd exactly call it social media, but it certainly, you know, is something we communicate via social media, and that the social media has an influence on that. Do you feel that the tools that are out there nowadays, I seems like it have people have trouble finding a good tool to conduct a webinar that that's reliable and that really works for them. You know, I'm just curious if you guys ever provide guidance in your blog for even something like that, where, and then also how to work on social media by providing, you know, if you are someone who wants to provide classes or some kind of presentation online, which is so common.
We utilize you know, webinars a lot, especially
mm-hmm.
through our Social Heroes group. We do a lot of webinars on different topics to give out information. The website that we have for our academy, it's damacademy.com, damacademy.com. That's where we have a reservoir of all different knowledge on all aspects of digital marketing. You know, it's basically DAM stands for Digital Advantage Marketing Mastery. And we
uh-huh.
have a bunch of different, you know, videos, instructional videos housed in that academy where people can go and learn all aspects of digital, including, you know, webinars, things like that. And we, most of the webinars we conduct are through Social Heroes Group. And
mm-hmm.
We found that, yeah, you're right, you know, it's more and more people, if they want to learn something, instead of leaving their office, you know, or homes and traveling all the way to other part of the country or seminars, they would rather just log in and listen and learn. So that's definitely becoming a great tool to, you know, give out information. And we've been using that a lot. It's also a great tool to build your, you know, audience and your list of your list of people that you want to market your products and services to. So once you do a webinar, of course, you capture all the email addresses for everyone who attends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, you know, building your list is basically, it's name of the game in digital
right.
marketing.
Any
webinar
marketing,
is great.
Yeah.
Any marketing. Yeah, so building a list, which is a solid list that you can mail out people on a regular basis and stay connected with your clients or prospects.
Yeah.
That so webinar is actually a great tool to do that. And the key in doing webinars is, of course, to give information freely, give out free information, valuable, add the value first So when a client comes in, or you know, prospects comes in and learns something, and then they're like, oh my God, you know, you share so much information on your webinar, so I'm sure you have way more information, valuable information on your main product. And that's how, you know, they end up buying your products and services. So that's one of the keys of doing that, and it has worked well for us in the past.
Yeah, it just seems like you know, more and more people are getting on board with that. What do you think of Twitter chats? I've had some success with that myself. There's one that I've joined called Lead From Within. I'm not always over there. It's one where they ask you a whole bunch of questions really quick, and everybody answers. I'm just curious if you have any opinion on Twitter chats, because it seems like people make business connections that way. Certainly you can get followers that way. I know that, that are of like mind.
Right. I mean, I like that. You know, every once in a while, you know, especially on weekends, a lot of people start different channels through hashtags and then have this huge chats going on. And I love following that. I know that you've done some in the past. And I always jump in, and it's amazing because you meet so many like-minded people. You know, I know that in your group, you know, you all have like really deep thinkers, and I kind of feel intimidated a little bit, but I'm like, yeah, I still want to learn from them. And I know you've done some blogs for Oprah, right? And
that's how I started. Before I ever even got on Twitter, and actually that's where Bridge Builder comes from, I used to be part of a discussion forum. You know, in the old days, and we had discussion forums, and this was many years ago. I was actually in Kansas back then, and I started, I would just be interacting, and I would enter in some topics, and they tended to be inspirational topics. And, yes, I mean, really, some pretty amazing things happened. I mean, I probably should have written a book by now. I thought I would at that time. But part of the reason that I haven't is because my thinking has continued to expand and evolve. And in some ways, I'm glad I didn't write a book at that point. I think I'll write a better book now. But what I used to do is I would just write on different topics, mostly around the time when she did the New Earth webcast. It was around that time. And I got really fortunate because my topics were really popular and they ended up on her front page. And they would often be on the Oprah.com front page. And I'll never forget the first time that happened. It's like, who do you call? I mean, who do you say? Because it was anonymous. I was Bridge Builder, and yet I had writing on the Oprah.com front page. And that continued. It happened all the time. And eventually, I even almost got on Oprah. The ABC Nightline, I got involved with something they were doing. And they were really curious about all of this. And right when I was emailing the Emmy Award-winning producer of ABC Nightline, right at the time, one of my posts went right to the front page. And I said, well, there's one. And she like, wow. She's like, I'd like to get something on the front page of Oprah.com.
Hey, so when you have your book party,
amazing.
I want to be there.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so... that was a pretty amazing time, and that's when I first came to Twitter, and that's probably when you saw me. And I used to put out a lot of inspirational content back then. It's funny, I've gotten more busy, and I've been thinking, even today and the last few days, I don't know what it is, Nadeem, just when I know you're out there, I tend to get more inspirational again. You know, I started putting out some more posts like that, you know, just little sayings, you know, that are helpful. And so there's no question my own experience is being a presence online, even anonymously. I mean, it could have led to amazing things. Someone I know fairly well who was in that discussion forum, and he's been on this show, he actually got to talk to Oprah. I mean, they called his house and wanted him to come on the webcast that she was doing. Mm-hmm. Which was amazing. And when she talked to him, it was as if she knew him. I mean, because apparently she was reading these things. So, I mean, there's a chance, you know, she could have read my post too. I mean, it's probably, in fact, it's almost impossible she wouldn't have, which is just kind of cool. You know, I know everybody would love that, you know, especially the work she's doing now on OWN and all that she does. I think it's inspiring. It really makes us feel good as writers to be able to contribute in that way. So anyway, to make a long story short, that's how it started.
I hope you get to go to Oprah because, you know, your message, Susan, is very powerful. You know, and I know that we got into a long discussion on Twitter one time about this, that, you know, the message of love versus fear. And, you know, I mean, I know that that's one of your central themes, you know, and over the years. I mean, in the recorded human history, a lot of wars and a lot of, you know, a lot of bad things have come out of fear-based thinking in you know, in all the religions or, you know, even in general. So many casualties, so many bad things have happened based on fear-based thinking. And I think as humans, we have evolved to a level where this message of love that you spread, you know, where, you know, making decision based on love is just a very powerful message. I hope our, you know, as humans, we eventually embrace that message versus, you know, our fear-based thinking, which actually results in so much unhappiness and wars and all the bad things around the world that's happening.
Yeah. You know, so. Well, you know, that's why I eventually started this show, and and just a lot of the work that I've done, I feel like, in fact, more and more, one of the things I'd like to do is get more people from different spiritual paths to talk with one another. In fact, even this seminar I'm giving this weekend, one of the things I'm going to do is point out how love-based beliefs can emerge in so many different ways, in even belief systems which seem to have fear. And that the other thing is that almost every belief system I have found can, when it spirals in some way, it can turn into fear. I know people who are just terrified of the law of attraction, or, you know, or think about, our co-creative abilities, because if you know, God or the divine or the universe is one and we're part of it, you know, we have some opportunity to learn and to grow into understanding that. And I feel that there can be a lot of fear-based things even about that, like, you know, all this constant watch out, what, you know, be careful, don't do this, don't do that, you know. And I'm more positive. You know, I always say, you know, don't worry. You know, if you're worrying all the time, that's not good. You know, if you're worrying about what you're focused on, don't worry about it. Shift that and just be positive. Just say, you know, I'm not gonna think about that. I'm not gonna worry about the impacts of negative things. I'm gonna focus on the positive. And and that's kind of one of the messages I try to get out. And so any belief system can become fear-based if we're not careful, because we do have a tendency to fall into fear as human beings sometimes.
Yeah, there is always a negative pull, kind of like gravity, and we always have to compensate that by staying positive and spreading positivity. And you and I, of course, are big believers in that, and that's the reason. Most of the things I post on either Facebook or Twitter is I'm trying to make myself positive, and if I find that helpful for myself, I sometimes share it.
Yeah.
And that helps others, and that's as simple as that. Really, there's really no magic or anything behind it. It's just that just resonates well with people, and you end up making more connections. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I've often joked that, you know, sometimes it can seem like if we're posting a lot of affirmations, like we have the absolute perfect life and we have every answer and, you know, every minute of our day is perfect. And honestly, a lot of the things that I post and have posted, really are affirmations for me. You know, they start out where I am trying to encourage myself. Yeah, I may not be having the greatest day at first, you know. I may, and in fact, I wonder sometimes if the more positive things I'm putting out, and then I share them, just like you're saying, you know.
Yeah.
And then I figure I might as well share this with everybody else, but it's not as if I'm trying to, I think many of us are like that, and it's not as if we're trying to present ourselves as, you know, having all the answers on the mountain. Well, the answers are coming to us, basically. You know, it's part of this intuition of being inspired, and it's inspiring me, and if it's inspiring me, then I want to share it, just like you do. Now, something you do, Nadeem, which really has touched my heart, and I think it's really cool, and I think we should encourage more people to do it. In fact, I should do it more. I don't do it enough. I honestly don't, is you affirm people. I think it's really cool how you've done this for years, where, you know, if someone is really reaching you on Twitter, you'll put out like a little list, you know, saying, I know Bob Berg, he's one who
yeah.
I've actually met Bob. I went to one of his seminars, and he was here in Portland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, but I need to get him on the show. I have not had Bob on the show. I think
he would love this.
And Dondi, she's another one. Dondi Scumaci,
yes.
I'm not sure how you say her last. I think it's Scumaci. She's another inspirational person. And you have these people that you affirm, and sometimes, you know, you've done that in the past where you've listed us, and I find that just really, it just encourages us to be even more inspirational, you know, when someone's encouraging us. And that's a very good practice, I think. And we should all do more of that.
Yeah, it's a great way to stay in touch. And, yeah, there are certain people on Twitter, you know, which I really admire. And, of course, you are one of them. And you and Bob Berg and Dondi and, you know, my top people, I always, you know, and, you know, it's just one of those random things I do. And it keeps us in touch, you know. It can be as simple as just, you know, one or two lines of message and with listing all your best people. I know it used to be a huge practice on Twitter at one time, and people used to do follow Fridays and all that.
So yeah, no, people don't do that as much anymore.
Yeah, it's more like a rare practice now, but it's great, and I love that. You know, and in general, of course, people, anybody that I find impressive, or if I feel that they are doing a good job, I like to highlight them, and my other friends or followers can follow them, and that's a great way to keep in touch. And And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, on Twitter especially, as well as on Facebook, when you are giving people referral or highlight them, it always comes back. They always reciprocate. And that's one. And, you know, even on the businesses, if I find a great service somewhere, I always highlight that business, you know, and always say great things. And you know, I don't say that because I want business from them, but eventually, you know, things always come full circle, and you end up, you know, getting benefits in different ways, shape, or form. But it's a great. I find that it's a great medium. Social media has been a great medium to spread positivity that way, and it always comes back to you, and you grow your business. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very much so. I know, you know, this show's gone by really fast tonight. I'm not surprised, but it has. I just wanted to ask you, and we hardly can address it, but I'm just really curious. You know, an area I haven't done much with is Google+, and I was just curious if you could very briefly tell us, you know, what you recommend in that area, and how you guys have used Google+. This is.
Sure, Google+. You know, I'm not extremely active right now, and I was active for a while on it, and I made some really good contacts. Google+, you know, of course, it's Google's equivalent to, you know, Facebook and Twitter, but it's more like a hybrid where you don't have to actually become friends. You can start following people just like you do on Twitter by adding them in your circles. And the great thing about that is you can have all these different circles. So when you post something, it's very easy and intuitive to post just for that circle. So it has a lot of different unique features which are not available in other networks. Like for example, having all these different circles and ability to post to those circles. So I like that feature a lot, and I've used a lot in the past. And the audience on Google Plus is slightly different. I find the audience, like people on Google Plus, are more technological, you know, more savvy. They end up, you know, they are more, you find more educated audience, and once they engage with you, the engagement level is higher once you make some contacts. So I find that pretty appealing. Although, you know, I spend majority of my time, I end up spending on Facebook, personal profile. Twitter is my second network. And, you know, that's where most of my time goes. And then, of course, Instagram has been growing a lot, so that I spend some time there. But, you know, G+ has taken more like a side role for me lately. But I still have my account active, and every once in a while I would go and visit, but not very active on that right now.
You know, I find I'm using Pinterest more lately because I realized I had created something I didn't even know I'd created. In fact, I need to put, usually I put the shows out there after the podcast, is I have a page out there, the Frontier. In fact, anyone who goes to frontierbeyondfear.com, and this show will be out there as soon as the podcast is ready, I've somehow managed to create this beautiful panorama on Pinterest without even realizing I was creating it, of shows. You know, they're all pictorial, all the pictures of the guests and the books, and then you can click on the show. And I thought, wow, this is really cool how to use Pinterest.
Yeah.
How about, and again, we're running low on time, so we can't say too much, but I know that the Social Heroes had talked about Pinterest recently too.
We do have blogs about Pinterest and also instruction clips on the DAM Academy. Again, you know, the address for that is www.damacademy.com. And then also on our book website, you know, which is goingtradigital.com. That's goingtradigital, TRADIGITAL.com. And then we have a lot of blogs and articles, you know, about that. I know that Angela is very active on Pinterest.
Yeah.
I'm not that active, but she has all these different boards that I know she's building her own office building, and she has all these different collection of what's going to go. I think Pinterest is a good tool to collect, I guess, you know, different boards and post, you know, pin things in there. And I do have a Pinterest account. I'm again not very active on it, but I like it a lot. It has a lot of inspirational posts on it, and I love that platform.
Yeah, it's kind of growing on me, I find. Well, you know, we're just about out of time in the live show, so I'm glad that you listed your website. So that, in fact, I'll make sure that a couple more are out there on the show page, so that as this goes into the archive, those listening in the podcast will be able to easily access your websites. But thank you so much, Nadeem, for being here. This has been really fun to talk with you after all these years interacting. I feel like I know you, so I mean I do.
I know.
See, there you go. That's social media.
I appreciate you having me, and I had a great time, and it's like you said, it's so awesome to chat with you in real time over the phone versus just exchanging tweets and messages on Facebook. So it's so awesome that we got to do this. Appreciate that.
Yeah, yes. Well, thanks again for being here tonight. And I hope you have a wonderful night. And I hope that people really enjoy listening to this podcast. And maybe you can come on here again sometime and we'll talk some more because
absolutely.
I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
Love to. You're welcome.
Right,
thanks for having me. All right.
Yes. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, real quick, as the live show quickly runs down, the next show is Friday, March 20th, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Sonia Grace is returning to the show for a spring equinox special. We're just going to celebrate the awakening of spring. Sonia's been on many very prominent radio shows, including Coast to Coast AM more than one time. And she's been on George Norrie's Gaiam TV show, and she runs seminars worldwide and she focuses on ceremonies for the earth. And so I'm really enjoying that. I'm going to be on Tracy Mahan's show at harmonyradio.co Friday as well, 9 a.m. Pacific. And again, at the Portland Body Mind Spirit Expo this weekend at the Oregon Convention Center, March 21st to 22nd, booth number 19, and 10 a.m. Saturday. I'll be talking on Listen to Love. So thank you, live audience, for being here. I'm going to talk just a little bit into the podcast audience for just a second here. And let me say to those of you who've been listening to this in the archive, welcome across time. I always feel your energy with us because I never know when people are listening to this show far in the future. And I hope that you have enjoyed this discussion tonight, because there really is so much we can do with social media. And in many ways, this podcast is an extension of social media. Podcasting is a very important area as well. And I do expect over time, I'll probably get more into teaching how to do podcasting, because this show is now in its fifth year. And so I'm just so delighted that all of you have been here tonight. And again, frontierbeyondfear.com is the place to learn all about this show. And wherever this show finds you, you are enjoying your path, finding the peace on your path every day, and get out there on social media. Look up Nadim D. He's very inspiring. And, you know, there are just so many inspirational voices out there. And just allow yourself to be inspired. And I welcome you, too, at the Bridge Builder Twitter account or on Facebook. Come visit us. So take care, everyone. ¶¶